قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, dear viewers, to Islamic Pulse's talk show, where we're focusing on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his mission, his movement, especially in these months of Muharram and Safar. In the studio with me, I have Sheikh Ali Qummi to discuss some things about the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, especially in these months of Muharram and Safar. Sheikh Ali, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
Thank you for taking time out, Sheikh Ali, and coming in and joining us on the talk show. We have been talking to various guests throughout the months of Muharram and Safar, again talking about the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I just want to dive right into the discussion, right? We see this great martyrdom, this great tragedy, this great mission, this great movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I think one of the most basic questions that come to everybody's mind as well, why did Imam Hussein do what he did? If you could please, Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, al-a'in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu ala al-Hussein. وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Condolences to you and the viewers. Why did Imam Hussein alayhi salam do what he did?
Right.
Well, the short answer is because the spirit of Islam had died.
The spirit of Islam had died.
Had died completely.
It's very profound.
And this is where Imam Hussein alayhi salam felt a responsibility, or realized a responsibility, divine responsibility. This is the short answer.
Right. So the short answer is that the spirit of Islam had died. So I'm kind of interested to know what is the longer answer here.
Well, you can look at when a person like Yazid.
Yes.
When someone like Yazid, with all those traits, all those negative attributes and qualities, when that person becomes the ruler over Muslims, when that person, such a person, he gets to a position of authority upon Muslims.
Right.
This is where the essence and the spirit of Islam is already dead. If the Muslims accept such a person, such a disgraceful person, to be their ruler, right, and they're quiet about it, they're not making noise, they're not standing up against him, then the spirit of Islam, in essence, is already dead. You know, the apparent practices, right? People are praying, people are fasting, people are giving charity, you know, all the rituals in the month of, the holy month of Ramadan, for right. instance. People are, you know, carrying out all those different rituals. This is not an indication of whether Islam is still alive in its essence and spirit or not.
Right.
And if we go back in history at that time, the Muslims were doing all these things and much more, the so-called Muslims. But Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, he had become the ruler. When the Muslims, they have allowed someone like him to be their ruler, then Islam is gone. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew it.
Yes.
He knew it. And that's why he said that we say salam to such an Islam from right. afar. We have nothing to do with such an Islam.
Right.
Where Yazid becomes a ruler. So this is really the long answer. This is right. what provoked that sense of responsibility in Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that being an infallible Imam, right now I have a role to play.
Yes.
I have to revive the pure Muhammadan Islam, the Islam of Prophet, the Islam of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Islam of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. I have to bring it back to life.
You know, I want to ask really two questions that all of a sudden have come. One is how exactly Imam Hussein revived Islam, right? T- to continue the discussion. But before that, I think this point that you made is very important, right? And something that should be emphasized or taken notice. This fact that, one of the signs that the spirit of Islam has died is the fact that people have allowed corrupt people and tyrants and oppressors and, you know, people who are full of corruption and sin to rule over them. Meaning there is, if you're a Muslim, right, or if you submit to Allah, as we say, you know, Islam is the submission to Allah. If you are a Muslim and if you are in submission to Allah in Islam, then there should be discomfort at the least with this status quo of an oppressor being over you, a tyrant being over you, a zalim being in control of these lands.
And this is exactly what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. He created that discomfort.
Yes.
He said things, and along the way, you know, we're going to discuss this more in detail. Right. Along the way, throughout his travel and journey towards Karbala, he kept explaining why he is doing what he's doing and what is the ultimate result of it. Mm-hmm. Imam Hussein alayhi salam made all the Muslims, especially those who considered themselves to be subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they considered themselves to be practicing Muslim, although I don't believe in the term,
right.
But all of them, till date, they become uncomfortable living under the rule of tyrants and taghuts.
Right?
And this is the beauty of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, how he revived that essence and spirit of Islam.
Right.
You know, and to your question, how he did it, there are two major things that, you know, I was doing some research. There are two major areas that Imam mm-hmm. Hussein alayhi salam targeted.
As far as the revival of Islam.
The revival of Islam is
yes.
concerned, right?
Yes.
One is reviving the core principles of Islam.
Right?
Because we have already said that the apparent and the obvious and the ritualistic Islam, that was not under question or under, you know,
right.
scrutiny. What was under question was the spirit of Islam, the batin of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
He revived it by, number one, reviving the core principles of Islam.
Right.
Number two, Imam Hussein alayhi salam revived the moral values,
mm-hmm.
the value system, the divine value system of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two areas really where Imam Hussein alayhi salam's movement was primarily focused on.
Right.
Now we do understand, realize, acknowledge that it's a multidimensional movement.
Mm-hmm.
What Imam Hussein alayhi salam did mm-hmm. cannot be just summarized, you know, from one aspect. Alhamdulillah, you know, throughout the history of Islam, there have been analyses and understandings that have surfaced up. In terms of what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. It's a multidimensional, really. Like, it's
yes.
very deep
yes.
for us to be able to dissect Karbala. It's a deep topic,
right.
what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. But we're taking this one direction, which, according to some ulama, is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam really did.
Right. It's very interesting. So, for example, it came to my mind as you were speaking, right, that, so, for example, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon him, is his holy household as well, right? He revived the spirit of Islam, he revived the soul of Islam. And so it's interesting you pointed out that, for example, the physical actions, right, with their importance in its own place,
yes.
but they weren't under attack, meaning the people were still praying, they were still fasting, they were going to Hajj, right? They were probably paying their zakat, and they were doing all these physical actions, but that spirit, that soul of this body of Islam, you know, metaphorically, was in danger. And as you eloquently said, that the that soul and that spirit, among the many things that can be discussed, one was the core main principles of Islam, and one was the moral and ethical value system of Islam, which comprise the spirit of Islam. Can you please tell us some of these core principles, these main principles, right? of course, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam revived.
So once we have this established that Imam Hussein alayhi salam revived that pure Islam, the spirit of Islam, the soul of Islam, the essence of Islam, yes. There are three major principles. Although the list can be exhaustive, I know and I realize that.
Right.
But there are three major principles that we would like to discuss today that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, through his martyrdom, through his sacrifice, revived. The first one is the wilaya. Wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right. Wilaya of his prophet, and wilaya of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Right? This wilaya is something that was hijacked. You can also call it the khilafah. You can also call it the leadership.
Mm-hmm. Authority.
This authority over Muslims. Yeah. Like we pointed out earlier, if somebody like Yazid, with all those evil traits, can right. come into power and rule over Muslims, there's something wrong.
Right.
Right? And we see the same phenomena today, which we will try to relate it to even today's time and age. But this wilaya was something that was in danger. Imam Hussein alayhi salam realized that he has a responsibility
yes.
to regain and revive this wilaya and this authority. Pledging allegiance for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because if you know the history, you of course do, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was asked for a pledge of allegiance.
Yes.
On the hand of who? Yazid ibn Muawiyah.
Right.
Now, knowing Hussein, this was out of question. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was never going to pledge allegiance.
Right.
At no cost. Similarly, our other Imams, they never pledged an allegiance to a tyrant, to a taghut, to an oppressor. Right?
Right.
At any cost. Now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam went a notch further. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, "Mithli la yubayi'u mithla."
Right.
Someone like me, in parentheses you can say his followers,
yeah.
those who say that I'm a Husseini, yeah. those who say that I follow the footsteps of Hussein or try to follow the footsteps of Hussein, he said, someone like me will never pledge allegiance to someone like him.
Right.
And if you notice the words of this this narration from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he did not say that would never pledge allegiance to Yazid. He said someone like him.
Right.
Which means Imam is looking at that trait of being tyrant and oppressor.
Right.
So a mu'min, a believer, a follower of Hussein.
He eternalized this concept. So forever,
exactly.
someone like him who wants to follow in his footsteps, regardless of religion, you know, because being a Husseini is not confined to any religion.
No, this is where he says,
yes,
even if you don't
like
follow
him.
A religion,
yes.
be a free person. You know, be a Husseini in terms of being free.
Right.
You know, take that dimension if that's something that works for you. Right? You can't be a Husseini in all aspects of your life.
Right.
At least be a Husseini from the freedom aspect, be free, don't be a slave, right? So Imam Hussein alayhi salam said that someone like me will never pledge allegiance to someone like him.
Right.
This means Islam has the authority, not a tyrant and oppressor, right?
Yes.
And if you know the verse of Quran, which is chapter 5, verse number 55, the verse of wilaya, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُكِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّقَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ
yes.
Over here, what is being said? Only Allah is your wali.
Right.
Right? Quran is very clearly saying, indeed, your wali is Allah. And then the verse moves forward, your wali is the Prophet. He has wilaya over you.
Yes.
And then those who give zakat while they are prostrating, right?
Right,
which refers to Imam Ali alayhi salam in ruku, right?
Yes.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, and of course the rest of the infallible Imams. So now the question is, and we want to raise a question here,
mm-hmm.
what do we do in the time of the occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam?
Sure.
Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the wali, no doubt about it. We know that he is that authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that divine authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in today's time and age.
Right.
We know that he's ma'soom, but unfortunately for us, he is in ghaiba, he is in occultation.
Right.
So now what? Now does this principle of Islam change? Anybody can have the authority over Muslims now, because the Imam is physically not present to rule and have authority.
Yeah, for whatever reason. Somebody like him can now come to power. Somebody like Yazid can come to power now.
So does this rule of Islam change now? So all of that sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what do we do with it?
Yes.
Right? And this is where, again, without going into details, we said that no, in occultation too, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave us like an orphan who doesn't know what to do. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam told us that in this time and age where the Imam is not present, you go to the faqih.
Yes.
You refer to the fuqaha. You go to someone who is controlling, who has the authority, who has the means, whose wilaya is established.
Right.
You cannot be under the wilaya of Taghut under any circumstances. This is the beauty of Islam.
Yes.
This is the beauty of the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that conditions fulfilling mujtahid, that faqih, is the one to be referred to in the time of the occultation of Imam Zaman alayhi salam.
So this was number one.
This was number one. The authority,
right, which
the
continues
wilaya
to this day.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of discussion in it.
Yes. But, No. For, we have to.
For the shortage of time, we will move forward to the second principle that Imam Hussein alayhi salam revived. It was bidding the good and forbidding the evil.
Yes.
Amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. Right. This principle of Islam. And we'll talk about why we are calling it a principle. This principle of Islam was put aside in that time. So Yazid comes in, does whatever he feels like doing.
Yes.
And nobody is checking him. Nobody is objecting him. Nobody is protesting. Nobody is riling up against him. The community, the Muslim community, the Muslims, they were just okay with an oppressive tyrant being their ruler.
And this goes back to our original point, when you see that this is what the situation was like, that truly the spirit of Islam had died.
Exactly. The essence of Islam.
This is the situation. The situation is this, where a ruler like this has come and everybody has no problem. You know, it's like a mind your own business Islam. Just do your Islam in your house and don't, you know, have anything to do with anybody
else.
Just
do the rituals, just pray, you know, just be a nice person, just, you know, say the truth and, you know, earn your living through halal means, and this is all that Islam. This Islam was there even at that time.
But it was considered a dead Islam.
It was spiritless Islam.
Yes, spiritless Islam.
Islam that is lost in its essence, right? And this is where Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in one of his sermons, and actually multiple places, but one for sure, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that my uprising, my qiyam, right? And I'm paraphrasing, is for the revival of Amr al-Nahi.
Yes.
Right? And this goes in line with the verse of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Let there arise out of you a band of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. They are the ones to attain felicity. Mm-hmm. Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his comrades, his ashab, his family, they are the misdaq-e atam. They are that absolute misdaq of this verse of Quran. They rose from among those people and did the right thing and stopped the wrong. Even if they had to give sacrifice for in this path and in this way. The third principle, really quickly, is fighting the oppressors, right? Jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. See, some of the principles of Islam, they have been hijacked. We look at it today, right? For instance, ISIS, right? Yeah. As soon as you say the word jihad, you know, these tyrants, barbaric ISIS people, they come to your mind and they chop off heads and this. Well, jihad is an Islamic concept. It's a core principle of Islam, struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what jihad is. Qital is different from jihad.
Yes.
Qital is, you know, where you're in the battlefield and now you fight the enemies of Islam and the kuffar and the oppressors. And that too, you know, If you look at the history, it is Muslims were attacked every time that they were defending themselves.
Right.
So fighting in the way of Allah, struggling in the way of Allah, right? For the right reasons, with the right principles, right? Jihad in the way of Allah. This is a concept that was hijacked back in the day. We don't have time to go into history, but this was hijacked.
Sure.
Because there were some attacks made against other people which don't qualify to be jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they were labeled as jihad, right? Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to revive that pure Muhammadan jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, he wanted to become again the misdaq of this beautiful ayat where it says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. Struggle in the way of Allah, right? Strive in the way of Allah. Do jihad in the way of Allah the way this jihad deserves to be done.
Yes.
Right? So these are the principles. And if you look at the jihad of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, throughout the entire ummah, the Muslim ummah, everybody looks up to the jihad, how exemplary jihad Imam Hussein alayhi salam did in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It became that role model for all the others who want to carry out jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right. This is a very interesting subject, I think, is I haven't heard it be called in this term, which was this pure Muhammadan jihad. Islam jihad, right? This pure, true meaning and definition of jihad as far as this pure Muhammadan. So that's something we should talk about one day. It's very, very interesting.
And you know, again,
which Imam Hussein revived.
It has many beautiful details. So in this jihad, in this type of jihad, you're not just fighting the enemy. You are trying to guide them, even in the battlefield.
Yes.
Again, we will go into too many details here otherwise, and we're going to run out of time. Even in the battlefields, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is delivering his sermons.
Yes.
He's advising people. He's inviting them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's trying to guide them.
Right.
And
right.
We have many examples, and especially the example of Hur. You know, he changed sides in the battlefield. This is the jihad of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is what that whole all-encompassing jihad is, where you're not looking to kill the other person. You're trying to guide that other person.
Save this other person
from the hellfire.
Yes.
Right? And Imam Hussein alayhi salam did this type of jihad. And yes, if they're arrogant enough not to listen and they keep attacking you, what do? You defend yourself. And this is exactly what Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam did. But the real interest that they had was to save and guide people.
Right.
And this is, and they did a proper jihad and struggle on that path.
You know what's very beautiful here? I mean, I know we're trying to kind of stay within a certain time frame, but a good discussion is a good discussion, right? This, I think that in today's day and age, or at least in the last few couple of hundred years, this mislabeling and this intentional corruption of the definition of jihad by a whole variety of governments and mainstream media is because of this. Because I feel that they fear this pure Muhammadan jihad. They fear it. And because they're afraid of it and they're intimidated by this idea that somebody will struggle and strive so hard to save another human being, they're so scared and intimidated by this that they have spent billions of dollars to try to twist this word around as much as they can.
You look at Hollywood, you look at all these movies, you know, and rightly so, they've spent billions of dollars, all these blogs, these websites, these videos, these presentations, these seminars, there's so much done just to defame jihad.
Right?
And it's not that the kuffar, those who are the masterminds, those who are trying to hijack this whole or defame this whole institution of jihad, it's not like they don't know.
Sure, yeah.
They know the reality of jihad. They have the seerah of our imams in front of them. They have the seerah of Prophet in front of them. But they do it because they know that if Muslims understand this proper, pure Muhammadan jihad and they start to have this jihadi lifestyle, it is going to endanger their authority and their control, and they're fooling the masses, right? It's going to impact imperialism. Nobody is going to let them occupy their country anymore.
Right?
So they know why they're targeting it, and they've done it pretty effectively, I would say, you know. Now even if you talk to Muslims about jihad, like you said, it's a mustaqil discussion that we should have at some... you talk to Muslims and they freak out because of so much phobia that is spread against jihad, the pure Muhammadan jihad, because people are not aware of what it entails and what it holds and what are the principles and what are the rules. They just get scared.
They do get scared. I think this mass media propaganda has done a really good job, right? So you will talk, like you said, to a lot of Muslims, and it's interesting. We, in the, you know, humble students of the Islamic Seminary of Qom, we have learned that Arabic words have root letters, right? So here is jahada, right, from which comes jihad or mujahid or even mujtahid, but again, an interesting discussion there, right? But jahada, struggle. You ask any Muslim who should be somewhat familiar with Arabic, right, somewhat familiar, they won't be able to tell you what are the root letters. And so the root letters have a certain connotation with the word and how it moves, how it evolves, how it adapts, you know. But the mainstream media, unfortunately, has done such a serious job. Sheikh Ali, I mean, so we've talked about these core main principles that Imam Hussein alayhi salam he revived. You had also brought up another point that Imam Hussein revived, right, in the revival of Islam, which I think is what we're revolving around now, is Imam Hussein's revival of Islam. But you had brought up this idea of a value system, a moral ethical system of Islam, which is integral to the spirit of Islam, and how Imam Hussein revived that. If you could open that up.
So when it comes to the revival of the value system, the divine value system of Islam, first of all, we have to acknowledge and understand that Islam has its own value system. We don't have to go out to the other cultures or civilizations to try to acquire the good things from their culture. No, some people try to do it because they are unaware that Islam has its own value system.
Right.
Top of the list amongst that value system, what Imam Hussein alayhi salam revived was invitation towards taqwa and fear of Allah.
Okay.
Right.
The invitation towards taqwa and the fear of Allah, this God consciousness.
If you look at the community at that time, predominantly the fear of Allah and being conscious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having that God consciousness, it had pretty much eroded.
Right.
Right. The people at that time were not paying attention, you know, generally speaking, towards the importance of taqwa. While you look at Quran, while you look at ahadith, you know, they're filled with the guidance towards taqwa and the promotion of taqwa, right? This was eroded. And you know, even today, if you talk about it, you know, sometimes people say, like, you know, okay, enough of taqwa talk, right? Well, no, it's never enough when it comes to the taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the consciousness of Allah. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah, the way taqwa is deserved to be observed.
Right?
There is an expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to see us to be muttaqi in the real sense of the word. Imam Hussein alayhi salam revived this value of Islam, this fundamental value of Islam through which we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the taqwa, right? The second...
Before we go to the second, right, this taqwa is interesting because... we do hear this among certain people that, you know, as you said, enough of taqwa, right? You know, how much taqwa can a human being have? but again, this taqwa, So, for example, some people, unfortunately, or let's not say unfortunately, but some people define taqwa as fear of Allah, whereas we kind of mixed it with more being God consciousness, being aware that God is there and being aware that God is hearing everything, He is seeing everything, He is taking account of everything, right? So when you realize all of these things in this God consciousness, this taqwa, then you automatically refrain from committing evil.
And this is where the fear part comes into the picture, exactly. Right? You fear that Allah is not going to like it.
Yes.
Right? If I violate this red line, since Allah is watching, Allah is not going to like it. Right. Allah is not going to endorse and approve it. And this is the fear in my heart, right? It's kind of like if we're good friends.
Yes.
I would not do things that are going to disturb you or,
right,
you know,
upset you.
Of course, in Allah's case, we're not talking about being disturbed or upset.
Right.
We're talking about a very principled thing that Allah has stopped you from doing something. Why in the world would you do it, right?
Yeah.
But even at a friend's level, you know, sometimes I fear not to say something that will upset my friend.
Right.
Right. This fear is not because, you know, my friend is draconian or right. He is like, you know,
scary
or he's just going to start fighting. No, not necessarily. When you care for someone,
yes,
this is how you act. You don't step over the certain lines.
Right.
Right? And so this is what the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this taqwa, as you said, this taqwa was not apparent in the society, right? So because the people, they didn't have this God consciousness or this hesitation, this fear of disobeying Allah. They allowed an individual like Yazid to come into power and to rule over them and to destroy the sanctities of the Muslims and destroy the sanctities of Islam. And so the first thing, as you said, that Imam Hussein revived was this taqwa in the society. Very,
right.
Very beautiful.
The second thing is the honor and dignity, right?
Yes.
And this is another lesson for all of us, that under no circumstances a believer, let alone the imam of the believers, mm-hmm. or the imams of believers, under no circumstances can a believer accept disgrace and humiliation.
Right.
What Yazid was trying to do with the Prophet's family, the family of the Prophet, was
right.
to, na'udhu billah, disgrace them. Humiliate them.
Yes.
And there are many shawahid that we can go to, and there are many traditions
sure.
and historical accounts that actually do speak about this. You know, especially when Bibi Zainab salamu alayha, she came to the court, he said, "Where is your Allah?" Right?
Right.
And then he's like, you know, it was all just
a game,
right? It was there was no revelation, there was no, and he's like, if Allah is on your side, why is He not helping you, right?
Yes.
If Allah is on Hussein's side, why is His head on the spear, right?
And taking them through the markets.
Through the markets.
Openly.
What was he trying to do?
Them.
He was trying to disgrace and humiliate, na'udhu billah min zalik, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, through his action, before it gets to this stage, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, through his action and through his sacrifice and through his martyrdom, made sure that every single believer gets this point across, that we under no circumstances can accept humiliation and disgrace. And that's where Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Hayhat minnatillah," right? That disgrace is far from us. We're not going to accept humiliation. Yazid, and remember this is a very important point, Yazid or someone like Yazid ruling over Muslims in the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was equal to disgrace and humiliation.
It was dishonorable against the spirit of Islam.
This is again, remember how we said that the essence of Islam had died? This is what we mean. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he considered it to be a disgrace for a person like Yazid to be Hakim and to be the ruler of Muslims.
And the self-proclaimed Wali of the Muslims.
Now,
can
you
imagine the Wali of the Muslims, the authority of the Muslims, is drinking and playing with dogs and monkeys and is drinking wine and there's gambling and games of chance and who knows all the other, you know, bad things that this guy, he's become the Wali. And nobody is opposing him. other than Imam Hussein.
This is just scratching the surface, right?
Yeah.
Now, this opens up another very interesting discussion that we won't have time to get into today, inshallah, right, at some stage. You know, for the Muslims and believers out there who are living comfortably, happily, satisfactorily under the rule of the likes of Yazid.
Right.
This is problematic.
Yeah.
In the Husseini school of thought, this is problematic. Right. And this needs a proper discussion.
Yeah, this idea that, this idea that if you are a Husseini, right, and like we said, we took away the limitations of religion or ethnicity or language here. So this is really, we're taking it to a universal level, is that an individual who is living comfortably, relaxed, happy, you know, nonchalant, no problems, content, satisfied, in a system or in a country that is run by Yazidi-like people or Yazidi-like systems, there's something wrong with this picture. Because the Muslims in the age of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were living comfortably under Yazidi system. And it was Imam Hussein who stood up and said that no, as far as taqwa is concerned and honor is concerned and the other things we're going to discuss soon, this is against the spirit of Islam.
So at the least, you know, what we can say today in this program is that those who are living under the tyrannical systems like that of Yazid and Yazidi system, they should at the least feel disgraced.
Yes.
And humiliated.
And seriously uncomfortable.
This would eventually make them uncomfortable, and then they start thinking of the remedy, which again, like I said, we don't have time to get into in today's discussion. And we're not proposing anything as of yet, but at the least, this is what we're saying, that, you know, this is a disgrace for a believer to be living under any tyrannical system.
Yeah.
Right? How do we solve it? Inshallah, a discussion for another time.
So the first one was taqwa, second one was honor. And these are, again, the ethical, moral value system that Imam Hussein is reviving.
Now, bravery and courage is another one.
Sure.
Right? As opposed to fear. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes we feel that, let me say it like this. You know, our urafa, they say that if a believer is in the state of committing a sin, God forbid, he is not within the bounds and folds of Islam at that point. So if a believer is actively committing a sin, at that point in time when he's committing the sin, he's not a believer. This is what some of our urafa say.
Right.
Similarly, we can say that if somebody is afraid of the Yazids of today, at least at the time when they're afraid, they cannot call themselves to be Husseini.
Sure.
They lack that bravery, they lack that audacity, they lack that courage to stand up to the oppressor and challenge the oppressor because they're afraid for whatever reason. We're not getting into at that very moment when you're in the state of fear of the tyrants and tyrannical regimes, you know that you're not in the state of being Husseini at that time. You cannot claim that.
Yeah.
Similarly, spreading fear of the tawaghit, spreading fear of the oppressors, spreading fear of the, you know, the superpowers.
Yeah, I think this would be even worse than just be, if you're just afraid yourself, that's limited to you.
You can chicken out, you go in a corner,
it's not a big deal. But when you start to spread that fear among the masses.
And this is where, you know, we have to be very careful. This is the third value.
It's interesting. I mean, talking about the historical context, right? So, for example, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, what did these people do? They bought certain people off, but a large portion of the population, they just scared. Yeah. You know, they scared the people.
Because of that fear factor and that welcoming the fear, being receptive to fear, it compelled them to leave Imam Hussein alayhi salam's deputy alone.
Right.
right? And hence he gets martyred, and hence, you know, the whole Karbala thing happens.
And that's a game changer.
Right? So this fear, this is where it all starts. The fear of losing this world, the fear of losing your life, the fear of losing your wealth, the fear of losing a job, the fear of losing your children, right. The fear of, you know, endangering the visa status of your kids, the green cards and the citizenships, all of these fears of the accounts, the bank accounts being, so on and so forth. All of these fears, if we start entertaining them as believers, then they turn us into that kufi mentality. You know, we become kufans. Because once you entertain and receive and, you know, kind of ground these fears in your subconscious, then your decision making is impaired already. You're not going to be able to stand up for what's right. You're not going to be able to accompany the imam of the time. You're not going to be able to accompany the deputy of the imam of the time, the Muslim bin Akil of the time. That's it.
It's interesting. I mean, just kind of jumping off of what you said, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he has a very interesting statement where he says that cowards don't have the right to speak about rationality. Mm-hmm. Right? As you said, because fear distorts your rational, logical thinking.
Yeah.
Because no longer you're now, it's almost like an intoxication, you know, for example, drugs or alcohol. It impairs your thinking.
You're under the influence now.
You're under the influence of fear, trying to save something and give something else up. And what's beautiful, Imam Hussein alayhi salam here, he says that no, he gave everything up for the sake of Allah and the mission of Allah.
And he was trying to, all along, if you look at his khutbat, and he was trying to take people out of that mode of being afraid and being scared of the might and power of the enemy, Yazid of that time, right? This is what Imam Hussain alayhi salam did. And not only him, if you look at someone like Hazrat Qasim.
Yes.
You know, he's like, you know, death for me is sweeter than
honey.
What are they trying to do? And then the ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is they're found to be saying, if the enemy kills us, because we are supporting Hussain and we are siding with Hussain and standing with Hussain, if the enemy kills us, then they burn our body. Then our body turns into ashes. Then these ashes are turned back into our body. Then they kill us again. Then we are turned into ashes. Then these ashes... They're like, even if they do it 1,000 times, they say, "Ma taraknaka ya Hussein," that we won't abandon you, O Hussein.
Right.
And today, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we look through around the world, the defenders of the shrine, those who are, you know, standing tall against injustice and oppression throughout the world. Look at Sheikh Zakzaki in Nigeria, right? What are they saying? If you look towards them, they are saying, "Ma taraknaka yabn al Hussein."
Right.
Oh, the son of Hussein, oh, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, we won't abandon you. We don't feel threatened. We're ready to sacrifice for you. Who revived this passion? All of them. You ask them, where do you get this passion from? Where do you get this vision from? They all turn towards Karbala. They all turn towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Bravery and courage.
You look at Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, for instance. You look at all the shuhada, Shahid Qasim Soleimani, Shahid Hojaji, Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, Shahid Fakhri Zadeh, right? All of these martyrs, great martyrs, and many more, right? From Zainabiyun to Fatmiyun to, you know, all of these defenders of the shrine, who do they look towards? Where do they get the inspiration from? Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Because he's the one who revived this moral trait and this moral value of Islam, you know. When it comes to dignity and honor, they say, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That dignity and honor belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
It belongs to, then the verse says, to the Prophet of Allah. And then the third level, it belongs to the mu'mineen. The verse says, وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who are munafiq, they are hypocrites, they don't understand it. They don't know about it.
Yes.
The mu'mineen do know about it. So under no circumstances can we be humiliated, disgraced, or accept disrespect and humiliation. Bravery. The response is bravery and courage. Another thing, you know, since we are at it, I think we should talk about it. You know, sometimes, yes, we are brave, we are courageous, but when the test arrives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends a tribulation, a trial towards us, sure, this is when we start to question ourselves. This is where we start to think that maybe, you know, maybe we did something wrong, maybe we shouldn't have done this, you know. When you're walking on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're moving forward with courage and fearlessness, and of course with within the framework of intellectualism and wisdom, and right, within the framework of wilaya, you have nothing to be afraid of. Don't question, because one of the things shaitan does is he makes you sacrifice for Islam, mm-hmm, but then after the sacrifice, when you get hit, the shaitan comes and say, oh, well, you know, you start questioning, you know, this idea in your head, these insinuations, these satanic insinuations that, well, did I do the right thing? After what? After you get tried. This is where, again, we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Did his companions question whether what they're doing, they were seeing all these other ashab being martyred?
Yes. Right.
Did they get confused? Did they start questioning? No. It was well thought of from day one, and they had firm conviction on this path. So even if they saw Ali Asghar being martyred, Ali Akbar being martyred, Qasim being martyred, they did not flinch even for a second. They saw Abbas being martyred, they did not flinch. Even after the Shahada of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we have no reports where anybody, even from the ladies and from the women's side, flinched or started to question, what did we do? We have lost all the men. And this is again a value of Islam that Imam Hussein alayhi salam revived. Quran says, وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ.
Right.
Right? When they saw, the mu'mineen saw that the armies of the enemy, they have gathered against them. And they're too few, in large numbers, with lots of resources. And they're too few, they're too weak. They said, look at the believers. And again, the value system of Islam. The believers said, this is what Allah and His Messenger had promised us. It is not a surprise to us.
Yes.
It is not something that is going to make us afraid. If the enemy is attacking us, it is not something that is going to change our conviction on this path.
Right.
Rather, they said, beautiful thing, they said, this is exactly what Allah and His Messenger had told us before, that you walk this path, the enemy is going to attack you. So they're like, we're not surprised. We're not losing our passions.
It's increasing our faith.
Even a notch further, the verse says, and I'm completing the verse, وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And this whole scenario, what did it do? It increased them in their faith, in their iman, and in their submission, in their taslim.
Very beautiful.
They saw the promise of Allah being materialized right in front of their eyes. So it's impractical and unwise and unintellectual to assume that you are going to stand up against the enemies of Allah and they're not going to attack you.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, again, a discussion for another day, Imam Khomeini, he and even Rahbar Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, they say that, Imam Khomeini say that if you are not being attacked by the Fir'auns of your time, mm-hmm, to this effect, then you're not on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Rahbar, just maybe a year ago, in this last 1 year, in a speech he says that if you're not being attacked by the enemies of Islam, then you should know that you're not being effective. Right? So look at the complete different mindset. And where do they all get this mindset from? Imam Khomeini says, ما حرچه داریم از محرم و سفر داریم.
Right.
Everything we have is from محرم and سفر. سید الشهدا، بیبی زینب، امام سجاد. Again, a topic. It's a very profound topic that we can keep discussing. Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha, when she sees all that she sees in Karbala, I don't even have heart to explain it, what she saw.
Right.
What does she say in the end? Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. I did not see anything other than beauty.
Beauty, right.
I did not see anything other than beauty. This is Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. This is that value system of Islam that had demised, that had eroded. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Sayyida Zainab, Banu Hashim, and the Ashab, the loyal companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they revived it.
Sheikh Ali, you know, I think this is a very beautiful and eloquent and elegant place for us to pause. We tried to keep the time constraint as much as we could, but, you know, by the grace and blessings of Allah, when you start talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his mission and his movement, and in this case, the revival of Islam, which came about at the hands of Imam Hussein, you could really talk for a long, long time. But we will have to wait for another episode. I want to thank you for joining us and taking time out of your schedule. We, inshallah, hope to have you again on another episode. And dear friends, dear viewers, thank you again. Our condolences in these months of Muharram and Safar on the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his family and his companions. And we leave you in the care of Allah. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.